Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel text for us this morning comes from the gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter, the first 11 verses that you heard read earlier. Please be seated. At first glance, our gospel text this morning appears to be misplaced into the church calendar, but it is appointed for good reason. The reason I say that is just 3 days ago, the church celebrated Jesus' ascension into heaven. It was 40 days after Jesus' glorious resurrection from the grave. On Thursday night, we heard that Jesus ascended into heaven for his coronation, as it were, being seated at the right hand of the Father, where he now rules and reigns over all creation as our great high prophet, high priest, and king. And then 3 days later today, our gospel text is right up in the back in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night when Jesus was betrayed. You see, every year on today, the seventh Sunday of Easter, our text is a portion of this prayer of Jesus. John records it in chapter 17. It's the whole chapter, Jesus' high priestly prayer, where just before being handed over as our perfect sacrificial Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, he prays for you. He prays for his church. He lifts up his eyes to heaven and prays for you and his church that you may have eternal life, knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ, his Son, and that you be kept in his name. Jesus could have prayed silently that night in the garden, but he prayed aloud so his disciples would hear him and his communication with the Father on their behalf. The Father had already glorified Jesus in his incarnation and earthly ministry, but Jesus prayed aloud to comfort his disciples so that they would know that Jesus was interceding for them, calling on the Father to strengthen their faith and protect them from the assaults of the devil. He knows what's coming later that evening. And in his prayer, he anticipates his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. If you look at it, it sounds as if he prays as he's already ascended into heaven, and the physical relationship between him and his disciples have already changed, those disciples who are listening in to his prayer. And that includes you and I, who are listening in by the eyewitness testimony of Holy Scripture. Jesus prayed, "I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world." For the last couple weeks, we've been hearing the conversations between Jesus and his disciples in the upper room on the night he was betrayed. The disciples' hearts were troubled, and they fought off fear and anxiety at the thought of Jesus leaving them behind. How were they to go forward without their teacher, whom they had walked with for 3 years? Well, you'll remember Jesus pointed them to himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He promised them that the Father would send them a helper, even the Spirit of truth. And now, standing in the garden, Jesus' hour had come. It's the climax of why God's Son left the glory of heaven and became man. It would be where the Father would further glorify his Son by sacrificing him on the altar of the cross for all mankind, for your sin and for mine, and then raise him from the dead. The ascended into heaven, Jesus now has all authority in heaven and on earth. And Jesus is still continually praying for you and his church, for he is your great high priest, evermore interceding for you before the Father for the sake of his suffering, death, and resurrection. We heard the other evening the writer to the Hebrews say Jesus is able to save to the utmost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We heard St. Paul where he writes, "Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." Just think of it. How could the Christian church have survived the last 2,000 years without someone interceding? How could you have come to true faith in Jesus Christ, your Lord, and remained in the true faith without someone interceding for you? Any organization created by man would have disappeared and been scattered years and years ago. God's people of faith would have been scattered into all sorts of false myths. But Christ's church goes on. It was God's plan of salvation long before the foundation of the world that Christ should suffer, die, and be raised from the grave. Moses and the prophets foretold the coming of a Savior. Born of the Virgin Mary, the incarnate Jesus called his original disciples, 12 in number, but that number grew. As we heard in our first reading, shortly after his ascension, that number was 120 disciples. 120? That's just such a small number amongst the millions who lived in the Middle East at that time. No one thought that it was a very big movement. They didn't give it another thought, but by the power of the Holy Spirit working through God's preached word and holy baptism, the church grew and grew and grew. And for millennia now, it has survived murderous rulers and dictators, self-righteous churchmen and popes. It's even survived church councils and voter meetings and poor sermons preached by stammering, feeble preachers like myself. How has God's church survived? And how can you possibly believe? Here's the point of the sermon. Jesus prays for you and his church. Does he pray that you and his church would be popular? Does he pray that you would be successful and financially independent? Does he pray that you're free of suffering and pain, wealthy? Does he pray that our nave be packed to the walls with people, shoulder to shoulder? Well, okay, 6 foot apart. No, those are not the things Christ prays for. He prays for you and his church that you have eternal life, knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ, his only Son, and that you be kept in his name. I say it again, God does all the work. Many times in the gospel, when you want to find a gospel statement in Holy Scripture, you look to see who's doing the verbs, that is, who is the object of the verb in Scripture. So I want to encourage you to take your Scripture insert home with you today and grab a highlighter and mark who's doing the verbs. Just a few of them in our text today. The Father glorifies the Son, and the Son glorifies the Father. The Father gives to the Son, who in turn gives eternal life to those whom the Father has given him. This means you didn't choose God. It's not your work. God chose you. Jesus accomplished the work of salvation of mankind for all whom the Father had given him. Scripture teaches us that there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus has manifested the Father's name. He has revealed the Father's name to you, all whom the Father has given to him. Jesus has given you the words that the Father gave to him, so that you may receive them as a gracious gift by the power of the Holy Spirit, and know the truth and believe that Jesus is God's own Son, who was sent by the Father, not by your own reason or strength, but hearing his word. At the very end of our text, Jesus prays, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Keep them in your name. This word translated as keep in the original language gives a sense of preservation, unharmed and undisturbed. Who alone can preserve and keep Christians in a sinful world? Well, it is the God who is the God of all grace and mercy alone. It's not any of our own work. It's all through God. His name is holy. He gives his glory to no other God, no praise to carved idols. In holy baptism, he marked you with his holy name, with the sign of the cross. And now, and he has given you his name as well. And Jesus sees that mark of the cross, and he prays for you and all believers that you are protected by the power of God's holy name. He prays that the church is united as one against the devil and against the wicked world, just as the Father and Jesus are one. Jesus knows how crafty the devil is. He fought him for 3 years on earth, and most especially battled him for 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus knows that the devil will continue to attack with his lies and deception and doubt, causing you to despair. He's been a murderer and a liar since the beginning. There is no doubt that the devil is still very active in our world. Most recently, we see his ugly head raised in the collateral damage from the coronavirus. How quickly you and I are pivoting back between uncertainty and doubt and despair. We struggle. Did God abandon us? We're even tempted to unbelieve. Because of isolation and fear, our nation is now seeing a spike in mental health issues, a rise in suicides, and increased substance abuse. And to be sure, the devil is in the details. And it's not just the virus, that's just the recent thing. But the devil comes to you every day in your trials and your tribulations, your temptations, your hurts, your disappointments. In our epistle text, St. Peter has this warning for you. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." It's a big section of scripture. Who's doing the verbs? Who is the object of the verbs in this section? Well, let's look at a few of them. First off, we got to remember God has given you the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given you the Spirit who empowers you to have the ability to humble yourself that you may be under his mighty hand so that he will exalt you. And why does he do that? Because he cares for you. Indeed, the devil is prowling about. So resist the devil. But before you think that this resistance is your work, know that it is the power of the Spirit given to you, holding you firm in your faith, giving you a strong defense of the one who has given you hope. so that you might resist. The God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ, it is he who himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Our Lord does all the work on your behalf. And now Jesus has ascended into heaven, but there is no doubt that he will come again. You have his promise. He will come for you on the last day, and while you wait on his return on the last day, or wait on our Father in heaven to remove you from this veil of tears, remember what's going on up in heaven. Jesus prays for you and his church that you have eternal life, knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ, his only Son, that you may be kept in his name. Right now, Jesus is before the throne, pleading on your behalf, interceding for your case, for he alone has restored your relationship with the Father, which had been destroyed by sin. You are united with Christ in baptism, given his holy name, and adopted into the one holy Christian and apostolic church, where your crucified, risen, and ascended Savior bestows upon you all his precious gifts, won for you on Calvary's cross, namely forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. He delivers them all in word and sacrament. So our gospel text appointed today is so that you know that Jesus has not ascended into heaven and left you abandoned as orphans. He is your great high priest. He is your high priest who comes to you in word and sacrament, and he is continually praying for you, you and his church. He prays for you not only when you're feeling strong in your faith, when things appear to be smooth sailing. No, he is always interceding for you before the Father, praying that you be kept in his name and that you be united as one with all people who believe in him. He's praying that you would be protected from evil and the evil one. He's praying that you would be sanctified in the truth of forgiveness of sins, confident that you have eternal life in his name, and knowing that the only true God is God the Father and Jesus Christ, his only Son, with the Holy Spirit. He preserves you in his name. He preserves you unharmed, undisturbed unto eternal life. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.